Well, by now you've heard about our webinar from a few weeks ago, Selling a Premium Product in a Commodity World. And if you haven't ordered it yet, what in the world are you waiting for? Now, I admit there was some confusion about where the heck to buy it. We like to hide things sometimes just to see if you can find them. But now it's available at caskey1.com. Search on Selling a Premium. For $97, you get the entire 60-minute webinar, chock full of ideas and tactics to help you command a premium. And it's 100% guaranteed from us, as usual. Get it? Don't like it? Email us, and we'll refund you. We're easy. caskey1.com. Search on Selling a Premium.
Now, your hosts, Bill Caskey and Brian Neal.
Bill Caskey, back to the Advanced Selling Podcast.
Brian Neal, back at the Advanced Selling Podcast again.
We have a guest today, Brooke Green.
Hi, Brooke.
Always figures out a way to get into the studio when it's locked.
Gorgeous. Just like Marsha Brady and Davy Jones. You know what I'm saying? Remember that episode?
You said that last time.
She was here. Really?
Yeah.
Am I reusing jokes?
You're getting old. You're using your old stuff.
Oh, man.
Speaking of old stuff.
Kills me.
About 2 weeks ago, Jill Van Arsdal was kind enough to sit in on a podcast that we did. Brian, you were out of town. I don't know if you've heard it or not, but it was really good. She took four or five questions from the audience that we received over the past couple of weeks, and she asked me, and I kind of went off the cuff and did rapid-fire solutions.
Yep.
As we left that day, we went to lunch, and you're familiar with the term Jillism.
I am. I love the term.
Actually, you created it.
I created the term Jillism.
Yeah. And some of our listeners are too. And Jillisms are things that people say, namely Jill, that sometimes you think about and you hear it and you say, oh, I don't quite understand that. And we've had a list of them, but she actually had a really good one. Are you familiar with the transit of Venus?
The transit of Venus?
The transit, T-R-A-N-S-I-T. The transit of Venus.
I'm not familiar with that.
Is when Venus. And is Venus right in between the Earth and the sun?
Oh, sure.
So
right.
You can see Venus in the very bottom part of the sun. Monday had just passed.
Okay.
So it was last Monday. So Brooke and I were in the front seat of the car going to lunch, and Jill was in the back. And I said, you guys know about the transit of Venus? And, of course, Jill, being a 23-something-year-old, is immediately on Google trying
Correct.
To figure out so she can say, yeah,
I
know
I got it.
Sure. So she looks it up. No, she looks it up, and she says, oh, wow, this is cool. She goes, the first time in the last some 100 years that Venus has been between the Earth and the sun, you can see it. She goes, oh, wow. You know what? This is the last time until, ooh, how do I say this? 2117. And when she said, how do I say this? I thought it was going to be like some Mayan calendar thing like EO to the third power. Jesus. I said, I think you probably say it 2117.
You think? Oh, dear God. That
super
poor girl.
Face. It was
Jill,
funny.
We love you. That
I looked,
was funny. How
I
do I say
the
this?
Rearview mirror. And
2117. That's really, really funny. Anyway.
Anyway, topic today.
Yep. Topic today is an exercise that I do with several of my clients called They Say, We Say. And this is a great way to catalog responses to common sales scenarios that you have. So if you're a sales manager or salesperson, this is an exercise you can do on your own. Also one that you can do as a sales team where you literally just take up the top objections or top places of trouble you get into in the sales process, and then you come up with different responses next to them. So we thought, you know, kind of fun, since Brooks here is our guest, to let her throw us a couple of common sales scenarios, objections. That's what they say, sales prospect, and us come up, you and I, Bill, on the fly and see if we can come up with something clever or useful for someone. So she's going to give us a couple of common sales scenarios, common sales objections. Like if a buyer says this and you and I are on the fly going to come up with, what do we say next? Got it? Got it. Now, Brooke, yeah, so we've got one microphone between you and Brooke, and so no one can hear you, and you're nodding, and Brooke's ready to go. So, Brooke, you ready? Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Big lead in, so okay. Don't touch the mic. Just talk
I'm
into
sorry.
It. It's okay.
I'm sorry.
Bad joke. Go ahead.
Well, the first one just happened in a one-on-one with a client that I had right before breaking into the studio to be with the two of you. And it's more a current client, but okay. The current client was being handled by someone else who has left the company, and now there's a new person handling this client. And every time that he tries to either hold them to some sort of parameters or ask them to maybe pay additional for things outside of scope, they say, well, so-and-so never made us do that.
Prior rep.
We never had to do that before. He never had a problem with us doing that.
That's very good. Now, the other great thing about this exercise is when it's your exercise, you get to have someone else go first. You get to make
oh, you
rules
do,
up.
So
yeah,
I get
yeah,
to
yeah.
go first. Okay.
So that's the they say. That was a really good one. So it's your turn. Do you want me to go first? Or
No. So I'm supposed to
respond to that.
How would I respond
to that? Buyer
says,
yeah. Well, when Brooke was here, we never had to do
that. So my first inkling.
Yeah, let's do that. This is always good.
Yeah.
Let's teach framework, too. Let's go with first inkling. That's oftentimes.
First inkling is I killed the last guy. He won't be here anymore. He's been shot. Nope. Second inkling is, well, he's not your rep anymore. No, but I think it sounds to me like the problem happens before this. This
yeah.
person lets himself get into this position, and if it's happened more than once, I assume. And so I think you've got to head it off at a time where there's not any kind of negotiation or price on the table where he could say that. I think that's a meeting of the relationship where we go in and talk and have a higher level conversation. I don't know what I would say in that moment. I would probably say, well, I know that there were a lot of things that were done, and there was a lot of, I mean, there's been a lot of details over the years in our relationship, and I do know that I can't do that on this one, and if that means that you're going to need to find somewhere else to go, or I can help you in some way find another source, I'm happy to do that, but I'm just not able to reduce price or whatever it was there. But I think it's a higher conversation. It's
yeah.
it's the conversation before that scenario that's really important.
It's good, good, good. Very good. Yeah. I like that. Can I go?
You got one better probably?
I don't. No, I definitely don't. Well, I'll probably sound just like you. Definitely there's a problem. So I always teach too, when we're talking responses, we always go with the verbal. I mean, it's called they say, we say. I also want us to consider how to think too, right? So we've got to say, okay, when someone says that to me, how do I think? Because I think the first inclination, it invites a bit of an antagonistic response, doesn't
it? Does,
it
yeah.
does. And so I have to first check my mind. So what I say first is to myself, calm down, that's okay. This is just all part of newness, right? Mm-hmm. Part of these might be a test. Part of it's the way the person before me ran their business. Part of it's the way I run mine. There's all sorts of things. And so I've got to remove myself from the attachment of all those things and just let it be at first. So I'm kind of quiet in my mind first. If I get that direct response, I like yours to say, okay, I appreciate that. I'd love for you to tell me a little bit more background about this, because any other scenario that I've handled with other customers, I would never be able to give you free shipping or whatever the thing is.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, you know, Tom used to, and I don't know that, but talk through, did he have to go for special circumstances,
pricing
special
or,
pricing,
yeah.
special permission
yeah.
to do something like that? And do all other vendors, has this been a common thing? Just tell me more about it. I'd want to learn, let them, because if they're BSing us, if they're just pressing us, they won't be able to fill in the blanks behind you.
No,
you
see it'll what be I a mean? Very shallow answer.
Very shallow answer. If there's some detail behind it, say, yeah, in fact, I got an email right here that he said, da-da-da. We
yeah.
email back and forth, and he said he talked to his boss, and he had to go, okay, good, got that. Then I think in the next conversation back says, hey, one thing you and I need to do is sort of reset here, because I get the sense we're in this pattern of, well, Tom, da-da-da. So Tom's gone, I'm here, and so we got to figure out how you and I are going to work together.
Yeah.
Fair
That's
enough,
good.
And
yeah.
we'll see where it goes. Okay.
Yeah, I probably
That's
react
good.
A little bit more than you do. I think you're better with the peaceful, what is it? Would you call it the peaceful concentration or something before you answer the question?
Did I? No, quiet mind.
Yeah.
Quiet
yeah.
mind. Yeah. It's a high adjustment thing.
It is. I wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the meds.
Or the meds.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or the
good.
Jack
those are good. Those are two good choices
nice.
There.
We have another one. Can you swing the mic around there for Mrs. Green, or do you want to say something?
No,
first?
I'm good.
Okay.
Hang
so
on
this
second.
Is sales scenario two. By the way, this is a great exercise as I stall to get Brooke on the microphone. Great exercise again yeah. for you to do. Make two columns. They say, we say. You bring up these common scenarios. Have your sales team list out how they handle it. Listen to us. Email us. Ask them how we would. Get some different approaches to different problems. Okay. Scenario two.
Okay.
Brooke Green.
Scenario two. So you start working with a prospect who says that they love you because you are not a canned solution.
Mm-hmm.
You are a customizable solution, and that's what they love about you. Yet, as you get into the sales process, they get frustrated with you because you are customized and you can't hand them a canned answer. And so they start to get snippy.
Snippy.
So it's how do you balance what they love about you with what they eventually start to hate about you?
It's
kind of like the reasons you marry somebody and then eventually you want to smother them with a pillow in their sleep. Go.
Does Larry listen to the podcast?
I love this.
With the smothering of the pillow?
Brooke, or just you should be on more often. You're funny.
Babe, I do not want to smother you with a pillow, I promise. I don't.
Eat your face off. But
yeah,
I'm
yeah, all right. You want me to go?
Yeah, go.
Okay, I'll go.
Yeah,
so same thing. We always teach, think first, speak, act second. So my first inclination, thinking-wise, is I don't want to be too abrupt here, and I realize that this is a very common reaction. I've got to be empathetic in this scenario, in my opinion, mentally, because I've got to understand what I want to do is I want to defend. Well, I'm custom. Well, that's what you said. That's what I wanted. It's the urge.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to do instead is I've got to have empathy to the other person to say, totally get how that would frustrate you to this point. It makes complete sense to me. And it is frustrating. It's one of the frustrating things for us. One of the frustrating. Am I boring you?
Yawning. Jeez. like Toby when he yawns. Seriously. He looks away.
Like a big lion, like taking a nap. Like, oh my God, when's this guy going to shut up?
I try to turn my chair a little bit.
So you have this little thing called a microphone right next to you that sort of gives it away.
Oh, did I do that?
You did.
Okay. Reminds me of somebody else.
I'll be sound asleep, I promise.
Somebody else used to be in our company that whenever we did a three-way call, he would go. Like, God, would you? Finally, one time I'd say, hey, stop the breathing. Stop breathing.
It's freaking Darth Vader. Brooke's spitting up on herself. Sorry. Anywho.
Something's in the water today.
I'll wake you up when I'm done. When I poke you, I'll be time to wake up.
But it's at least I didn't do the thing where, you know, sometimes you're talking to someone and they fight the yawn. And it's even worse because their teeth start to clench and they start to do that. And you're like, are you having a stroke?
The yawn fighting face.
Oh, it's getting hot in here.
Or they swallow it. You know what I mean? They swallow the yawn. Oh, that is too funny. I'm a hold sneezer guy.
Oh, that's bad for you.
That's bad for your blood pressure. It's also bad for the people around me because I sneeze 9,000 miles an hour and spray the whole world. I spray my wife all the time sneezing in the front seat. Good. Drives her nuts. Anywho, so once in my mind, I'm empathetic. I understand that. Now I can go back and address it. I think verbally what I say there is to say, look, I completely understand where you're coming from. That's the empathy coming out in the words. And I think it's – are you starting to laugh?
No, I'm not.
And I
– you want me to go?
No. Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
You're done?
Go.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I can't even remember the damn – I can't remember the scenario. I really can't.
They said –
The very thing that – I think that's a great way you put it. It's the very thing that's an advantage also is not the way they've purchased in the past, and it's hard for them to purchase. And I think that goes with anything. It's, you know, it's up to us to do the work, the groundwork up front, anticipating things. So when you know someone has never bought this before, whether they buy canned or not canned, whether, if they haven't bought it, I think there's a certain amount of education that we all have to do and our clients have to do too. And I always assume the worst. I always assume that they're not going to understand how much it costs. They're not going to understand how to buy it. They're not going to understand the advantages of a custom solution versus a canned solution. And so how we position ourselves, I think, is the answer to that. Because we can't bitch and blame the customer for it. I mean, we can't do that.
No, and I also think you can tell them, once we address that I understand how they feel about this thing, then I can go and say, well, help me help you sort of thing, the old Jerry Maguire, and how would you want this to look? What form does it need to be in? How much detail? What part of it can I organize for you in a way that makes you say, okay, I can get my arms around this. Yeah. Let's collaborate together to work to get this thing to fit. Because part of the flexibility of being customizable is the ability to customize it in a way to make it look like it's canned. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I can do that in the definition of me being flexible and customizable. And so I would go there to ask them, what does it need to look like? Because I think what happens sometimes is we try to guess. We're the customized solution. So we try to guess, and then they get frustrated because we didn't guess right.
Yeah.
So I'd rather buy them into the process early on and say, you tell me how it needs to look, and I'll make it look that way.
Yeah.
Finally.
I think a lot of this gets back to, do we make it easy for people to buy from us or whoever it is? And I don't think we do very often. I think we connect the dots very easily because we sell the stuff day in, day out, but we don't help the customer really buy it.
Nope.
And there was an ad agency here in town that has a tagline, we help make things easier for customers to buy. And it's so true. And I think sometimes if you look at it that way and ask yourself, are we really making it easier for people to understand what we do and buy? I think you could probably the actions would change a little
bit. And my friend Chris Padzikowski, who's the president of Burkhardt Outdoor Advertising, says the other side of that too, which is be easy to sell.
Yeah.
Be easy to buy and easy to sell. You've got to make yourself easy to sell. Part of that is the way you package yourself and present yourself to your buyer. Good. Be easy to buy, easy to sell.
Good point. Make sure you go to our LinkedIn group. We've got over 600 members now on LinkedIn. And also you can email us at listener@advancedsellingpodcast.com.
That's it.
Do you have any final wise words?
I think I had plenty today. Glad you ended up waking up and joining us.
I appreciate that. Nice. Thanks for the nap.
Sure.
Anytime I want to fall asleep, I'll just give you a shout. Do you mind?
Flip into the old Advanced Selling Podcast and listen to Brian Neal's section.
Perfect. See you next time.
Bye. Bye.
This has been the Advanced Selling Podcast presented by Caskey Achievement Strategies, Indianapolis. Join us each time we record a new podcast by going to iTunes.